Hello and welcome along to another tipping edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. It's a huge weekend. We've got Grade 1 action in Fairyhouse and Newcastle, and we've got a huge weekend at Newbury as well. I am going to try and glean some much needed information from two of the great minds of the game. It's Paddy Power and Mr. Frank Hickey. Lads, how are things?
I'm very good, thanks.
Great, Tom. Thank you.
That was just didn't know what to say there. I bigged you up so much, you were like, fuck, there's pressure on now. Don't know what to say. Without further ado, the lads are obviously on song. I'm going to try and keep them on their toes now with such a strong start. The first few races we're going to have a look at. Fairyhouse have their winter festival this weekend, and that gets underway on Saturday. We're going to take a look at two races, the first of which is at 12:30. It's the Easy Fix Equine Handicap Chase over an extended 2 miles. Paloma Blue tops the weights. Frank, this will be in a competitive little handicap chase. What did you think?
Yeah, no, it's a very good race. I liked Snugsborough Hall for Liam Cusack. Only had 2 runs last season, prep over hurdles before going to the Dublin Racing Festival, where he bled. He was only 6-1 that day. He was running off a mark of 143, runs off the same mark here. In the spring of 2019, he was absolutely flying. He won 3 of his 4 starts in the spring. Might well have won all 4, but he was carried out by Mind's Eye at Fairyhouse and bolted up a punch on his final start off 127. He had a lovely reappearance at Sligo over hurdles when 4th, beaten 7.5 lengths. That form has worked out. Call Me Lyrene won a Grade 2 novice hurdle at Naas last weekend, and the 3rd one down wasn't beaten very far in a Grade 3 and Nav in his next start. So it was a lovely reappearance, and I think there's still a bit of scope off that mark from.
Am I right in saying you love him, Snugsborough Hall? Have you tipped him up a good few times? Or is it Snugsborough Benny or one of the Snugsboroughs? I don't know. I often associate you, and we'll have to name horse Snugsborough Frank. Anyway, Paddy, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, not a particularly strong fancy, but if Impact Factor is fit, it would have a decent chance, I think, as a decent novice last year. Well, it hasn't run since May 2019, so has to go back for quite a long layoff. But sometimes those horses, they come back and the first run's a time to get them. So if there's money around for Impact Factor, I think that one could be quite well handicapped. But if it's a big drifter, maybe leave it alone, because it might be fully fit.
101 at Fairyhouse is Grade 2 Mare's Hurdle over almost 2 mile 3. Concertista, Manella Melody, Carrageen Lotus, Etincelle Loatier, and a few others. This is a good little race. Novices meeting open company mares. Frank, what did you think?
Look, Concertista obviously hasn't been seen since she bolted up in the Mare's Hurdle at Cheltenham, the Mare's Novice Hurdle, sorry. She carries a £5 penalty for that. Now, if she's in the same form as that day, she probably won't be beaten. And of course, if you go back to the previous season, she was only beaten a short head in the same race at Cheltenham Festival. So obviously, a big feel of strong pace really suits her. She might not get that here. As the small concern would be that she was beaten on a reappearance last November when a 1-2 shot. But if she comes, like if she runs anywhere in that Cheltenham form, where she the likes of Yukon Lil and Carl Reeve behind her, like they've both won over fences recently, should be difficult to beat. Manila Melody and Queens Brook have fitness on their side, but Manila Melody was disappointing at Cheltenham when she was the favourite in that Mare's Novice, but she was the one I'd side with over Queens Brook. I was a little bit underwhelmed by Queens Brook and bought her hurdle stats this year.
Not a word for the Carrageen Lotus. Watch out for the Lotus, lads. Paddy, what did you think?
Yeah, so I'm kind of similar view to Frank. I think the Concertista, I'm kind of hoping it'll be a short price favourite, because I'd really be quite against her, because Ash just wants, like exactly like Frank said, big field, fast pace, spring, Cheltenham, all those things have to come together. Like, so I think at this time of year, I'd be definitely taking her on. So I'm hoping she's a short price, which will make Manella Melody hopefully around 3 or 4 to 1 or something like that. And then I'd be fairly confident about Manella Melody beating Concertista. And to be honest, I actually didn't look beyond Manella Melody, so you can make a case for Carrageen Lotus yourself.
Righto, across to Newbury we go. It is on ITB Racing, of course. And the first race we're going to look at is at 150. It is Get Your Ladbrokes £1 free bet today. Handicap Hurdle. T Clipper tops the betting at 11-4. 5-1 on the wild side. Flash Steel is 7s alongside Champagne Platinum. Christopher Wood is 8s with Amour de Nuit. And it's 10s and bigger the rest. Patrick Power, lead us off.
There's a couple of horses in here that could be very well handicapped potentially, but you'd wonder, is this the day for them? I'm talking about maybe Champagne Platinum and maybe Rat Hill and horses like that. And if there's a big plunge in one of them, you'd be listening. I think More Than We is one that's most likely going to be going for this today on Saturday, whatever. And that's about an 8-1 each way. But I think T-Clipper, the favourite, is going to be hard to beat. And I'm going to stick with that. It still looks to be a bit ahead of the handicapper, I think. And we'll take a little bit of beating.
Are you hungover by any chance?
Do I look hungover?
Yeah, your eyes are like piss holes in the snow.
I'm squinting because I have the sun is shining right in the window behind the screen. That's why I'll open my eyes a bit wider. The answer is no, I'm not hungover.
Okay, that's fine. Frank, what did you make of this one?
Very interesting race. I agree with Paddy from the point of view of Champagne Platinum and Rat Hill are very interesting. Nicky Henderson's won this the last 2 years. Champagne Platinum, of course, last seen when a bit of a plunge horse in the Kim Muir. Stamina was definitely a question mark going into that race for him. This is probably more his trip. He's won over hurdles. I think won a novice hurdle here a bit back a couple of years ago. So any money for him would definitely be respected. But I'm going to take a chance on one that we're a little bit under 10-1. I can see this being available at 20-1 this evening. That's Howling Milan for Sam Drinkwater. Quite a decent novice. He ran okay in his first two hurdle runs, but on his third start over hurdles, he absolutely bolted up over 2 miles here, winning by 26 lengths. He just tore out in front and he just didn't stop. He kept going. He was quite impressive that day. His form at the track is quite good. Then last season showed absolutely nothing in his first two starts, then finished fourth in this race off 127, won a 20-1 shot. And then on his next start at Christmas over this trip at this track, he looked all over the winner when coming down at the last hurdle. He was 3 lengths clear that day. He was running off a mark of 125. Now he's shown very little in two runs over fences this season, but he's running here off 123, which is £2 lower than the mark he was running off when he looked all over the winner last December. And you know, I think we're 10-1. There's 14-1 out there. I wouldn't be surprised if you get 20-1 this evening. That'll do me each way. We're extra places here as well, Tom, for those listening.
Good man, Frank. Get the plug in there. 225 at Newbury is the Ladbrokes Committed to Safe for Gambling Intermediate Hurdle. Marie's Rock tops the betting at 11-8. Time White is 9-2. Milkwood 5s. Botox has. 6-1. Sebastopol is 7s. 8-1. Floresa 16s. Bar. Frank, you can start us off here.
I'm really looking forward to this race. Look, I think Marie's Rock is going to be all the rage now going handicapping. She's 3-3. Won a bumper. Won first time out over hurdles. Was impressed with Taunton and Liston Mares hurdle on her last start. Obviously had a setback and missed Cheltenham. She probably would have been among the favourites for the Mares novice hurdle. She's had a wind up since we've last seen her. Of course, Epitant won this race last year off a mark of 137, and we all know what she went on to do. Marie's Rock starting off here off a mark of 141. I'd be keen enough to take her on, though. The one I like, I don't know, we did the podcast maybe a month ago, is Botox Has. Was very keen on him that day at Cheltenham, and he was extremely weak in the betting, perhaps because I liked him. But he was very impressive the way he dispatched All Mankind. The two of them got racing from the second last hurdle. Botox Has put him away. All Mankind weakened out when the pink in ran on to finish second then. But I thought he was impressive. The fact he was so weak in the market suggests to me that the run was probably needed. They felt that he was going to come on plenty for the run. Like, his mark went up from 138 to 146. This is handicap debut. But you know what I mean? I kind of thought he's the type of horse, I'm not saying he'll win a champion hurdle, but I could see him, you know, being a 25-1 shot in a champion hurdle in March. And I think he's definitely got scope to be better than 146. So at the price, it's either a few bob each way at 6-1, because I'd be very disappointed if he's not in the first three. I think he's got a right chance of turning her over as well.
Wonderful. Patrick?
Botox Haas was on my shortlist for that reason. I couldn't remember why. I remember it won at Cheltenham and Frank had tipped it up. But I'm against Marie's Rock as well, just at the price. At 11-8, just a bit tight. And Time White is the one I'm going for, just because I think it could be an unexposed type. And it was my nap of the weekend when it didn't run in the Greatwood Hurdle. So an unbeaten nap during Paddy Power weekend. So I'm going to stick with Time White, I think.
Your form book or tracker must be amazing. Like, you kind of flag a horse and your comment would be just, dunno.
But that's pretty much it. Like, you yeah. Back and you go.
Can't remember. But yeah. lovely stuff. Onwards we go. 3:00. at Newbury is the big race of the weekend. It's the artist formerly known as the Hennessy. It's the Ladbrokes Trophy. Vindication tops the betting at fives. Kilda starts 7-1 alongside Eyewright, Black Op, and the Conditional. Copperhead is 9-1. Secret Investor is 10s alongside 2 for Gold, 11-1 Cloth Cap, and 16s Bar. Paddy Power, you can start us off here.
We should mention,
of course, this is the Millionaire Chase qualifier. You need to opt in to the Millionaire Chase on paddypower.com and back the winner. So, Paddy, this is extremely important that you give us the winner of this.
Very important. And I was down, but I was between two, but I've settled on one of them. I was between Eyewright and Black Op, the second and third favourites, but I'm going to go with Black Op. I just think this is a grade one horse. It was second here. This means second to Champ last year, which obviously turned out to be very good form. And but second to Slate House as well, in another grade one at Kempton. And had a nice prep behind Imperial Aura, who was a really progressive horse last time. Looks quite well handicapped, I think, Black Op on 11 stone. I think he'll feel like he's going around bareback.
Frank?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't understand maybe what bareback.
I don't know. He'll find out afterwards when the complaints start rolling in. He'll find out.
The younger audience will understand anyway.
What do you like?
None of my horses will be running bareback anyway. I'd agree with Paddy. Black Off's got a right chance. I just would prefer if the ground was a bit easy. I'm already pissed off at the race because I got involved about 3 weeks ago, anti-post, and of course. If you're having a bet, the one thing you wouldn't be worried about is that the ground will be too good for the Ladbrokes Trophy at the end of November. And here we are, good ground. And my horse, I backed with Sam Brown, who needs soft ground. And he's the only horse who came out at the final declaration stage. So I've done my money anti-post already. I think Black Op has a big chance. I would prefer a little bit easier ground for him. I do think he enjoys a bit of cut. And the one I'm going to go for is a horse that actually, ordinarily, I wouldn't even consider for a race of this class. But I do think it's a quite weak renewal. Like, if you're looking at this normally, you're thinking, you know, which horse is going to win this and then go on to, you know, contest the Gold Cup. And I know some people have been, you know, saying Vindication is that horse, but he's running off 161. And if you saw his jumping at the track last week, you'd be absolutely insane, I think, to be having a bet at 6-1 on him. His jumping was very off-putting. I know Kim Bailey was trying to say, oh, he's just a bit fresh and stuff, but wouldn't be for me now. And the one I'm going to back is Cloth Cap for John Joe O'Neill. Really wants good ground, hasn't had it in a long time. If you go back to like the 2018-2019 season, he got a bit of good ground that year and he won at Stratford and Catterick off marks of just 118-125, but he finished the season finishing third in the Scottish National off 134. Caught the eye that day. He was very, very inexperienced going into the race. Since then, it's been all soft ground, but he's run okay. He finished third in a good Ascot handicap off a mark of 136 last year and was beaten a neck in another Doncaster handicap off 136. He was eighth in the Kim Muir, had a lovely prep, went third at Cheltenham off 138 behind Frodon. It just started raining that day and got into the ground, so probably inconvenienced a bit. He's been dropped to £2. Stamina's a short. He only carries 10 stone. He'll feel like he's bareback running off 10 stone. just a double figure price, and have a few bobby trying.
I get the impression on the Zoom call that Paddy doesn't have an idea what he's after saying. But anyway, 3:35
It's something sexual. I'm trying to work it out in my head. Like, I'm just flicking through 50 Shades of Grey here, just trying to get a bit of reference point.
Give it a Google there. Give it a Google, yeah, and I'll throw it to Frank first.
You don't have to worry when you're a married man about you. Yeah, do you know what I mean? You're married as long as Paddy.
Right, okay.
New Year's Day 2021, and Paddy Power will be giving away £1 million to one lucky punter in the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase at Cheltenham. To enter, simply opt in and back the winner in this week's qualifier race, the 3 o'clock at Newbury on Saturday, to be in with a chance. In your face, 2020. For more details, just open our website or app. Paddy Power.
Terms and conditions apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Onwards we go. At 3:35 at Newbury is the Watch Racing free online at Ladbrokes Handicap Chase. Moonlighter tops the betting at 5-2 alongside Ibleo, 6-1 King of the King of May, 7-1 Zanza, and it's Hatcher at 8s alongside Western Miller, 10-1 and bigger than the rest. Frank,
yeah, tasty little race. Moonlighter ran after Cracker in the Highland Gold Cup when beaten a neck by Grenadine. That was off a mark of 142. He did win at Newbury last January as well, off a mark of 137. Can definitely see why he's near the head of the market. And of course, Ibleo for Venetia Williams, who's the yard really after hitting form. Again, just touched off at Ascot. He's got a 5. But I'm going to take a chance and one at a little bit of a bigger price. Zanza for Philip Hobbs. Yard weren't flying it, but they're having a few winners there recently. And they're coming into form. This horse has some decent Newbury form as well. He won 2 handicap hurdles here over 2 miles off a mark of 131 in March 2019 and last November off a mark of 136. He was only beaten 2 lengths in the Betfair hurdle on his last start at Newbury. Obviously, that was a really competitive handicap. He was running off a mark of 138 that day. He runs off a mark of 138 here. Did show a hold pile behind El Dorado Allen's first start over fences. Improved a fair bit when second. Now, albeit beaten 13 lengths by All Mankind of Warwick, but he was just kind of given an education, enough ride and ran on, you know, the horse that took on All Mankind weakened out of it and he ran on nicely into second. He's still only a 6-year-old and the mark is fair and he's good course form. So, yeah, probably have a few bob each way. I think it's about 7 or 8 to 1 mark. It's probably fair.
Patrick?
Is Bareback not wearing a Johnny? Yes.
I would have said not wearing protection when having an intimate encounter,
just struck me there. That's fine. Anyway, sorry. 3:35 at Newbury. I didn't have a strong view on this, but as Frank said, Venetia Williams, I have her down in my head as a streaky trainer. So as in when she starts hitting form, she has bangs and winners to beat the band, and I think Ibleo for that reason. Although I also have it in my head that all her horses like really heavy ground, but that's probably not fair. But I think Ibleo, I think with the stable and flying form, I think is a justifiable towards the top of the market.
Lovely stuff. Up we go to Newcastle. It is the Fighting Fifth meeting there. And at 2:05, the big race at Newcastle is the Fighting Fifth. And Epatant tops the betting at 8-11. So Royale, 139-2 Silver Streak. Ribble Valley is 8s. 14-1 Cornerstone Lad. 28s Not So Sleepy. And 80-1 Voix de Rêve. Paddy, what did you think?
I don't know what to do. Like Epatant, like 8-11 is nearly backable, like it's nearly stickable in a double or something like that, but I don't know if I want to be backing her this early in the season, 8-11. I thought like maybe each way, like Silver Streak has his ground, the ground is going to be okay, so that would be unusual enough for this time of year and would probably be a player. Maybe each way at 11-2, 2, 4, 6, at only 7 runners, of course there is, but yeah, so maybe the bet without Silver Streak, bet without Epatante. I think Epatante will probably win.
Frank?
Yeah, it's strange. We're 8-11 and just looking on our sister company and the Betfair Exchange, and Epatant's actually 2.16 at the moment, which to me would look very big. Like, she was so impressive last year, like going from winning a jury field at 137 to being a very heavily punted favourite in the Christmas Hurdle. Her next start stepped up into Grade 1 company where she was extremely impressive, and then equally as impressive winning a Champion Hurdle. There is a small doubt about fitness, but she did have that race course gallop at Newbury a couple of weeks ago. Soreal has been very strong in the market, but he was beaten in this race as a 4-year-old turning 5 going back 4 years ago. While he's improved over fences, I just don't know if he's really Champion Hurdle quality. Like the Welsh Champion Hurdle was off 150. And while he was very impressive at Wincanton the last day in the Elite Hurdle, he did beat a horse who was rated 144. So, like, he didn't achieve that much. And just like Epatant, as I said, with that price in exchange, she could be even money 11-10 this evening or tomorrow morning. And to me, that's just too big to pass up.
Onwards we go at Newcastle. 3:15 is the Betfair Exchange rehearsal handicap chase. Pim tops the betting at 3-1. Watmore is 4s alongside the Butcher Said. Definitely Red a 6-1. 8-1 Brave Eagle alongside Shantou Village. 12s Bar. Paddy?
Yeah, I think it's not a great race. It's weak enough. So for that reason, I think Pim is even at 3-1 is kind of appealing because I thought his performance beaten if the cap fits was, as some would say, savage. So it looks like possibly a grade one horse in a race that is nowhere near grade one class.
Yeah, Pim is probably the one to beat. I think Watmore just bumped into one the last day at Ascot, who was very well backed in that competitive handicap. He's gone up £4 for it. I can see him running well. I think the market's kind of got it right. When I was watching the Butcher Said the last day at Cheltenham, I kind of said I'd want to be on him when he goes handicapping. He travelled really nicely into the race and he was conceding £8, the big breakaway that day. Look, he lost all chance the second last when he nearly came down and nearly unshipped the jockey, lost all momentum, was beaten 20 lengths of results. I think he would have been second, beaten maybe 8 or 9 lengths if he had not made that error. But his form when he gets proper good ground is really solid. Like it was soft ground at Cheltenham, that's not ideal for him. He's going to get his good ground here now. And just, I think there's plenty of scope for him to be better than a mark of 139. So I take a chance on him. I wouldn't be overly confident because Pim and Watmore are very solid. But I think the Butcher Said he'll win a nice handicap at some stage, if it's not tomorrow.
That was Saturday. Time for Sunday.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
A brilliant card on Sunday at Fairy House. They have a massive card there on Sunday. We'll kick things off. We're going to look at the half 12 first. It is the Bar One Racing Price Boost Juvenile Hurdle. Small but select here, field here. Frank. Saint Sam makes his debut for Willie Mullins, a 3-year-old by Santa Sam, proper National Hunt breeding, but he's ready good and early. A couple of interesting types. Zana here is a good Nathaniel Gelding for Gordon Elliott, winner first time. What did you make of it?
I couldn't have a bet in this race. Like, we just don't know how good Saint Sam is. Zana here went to Ballinrobe for his debut. Like, yeah, it's not really where you'd think Gordon send his best horses first time out, and Jude's Alter won on Hurdle's debut. Punchdown was quite impressive and was useful on the flat. It'd be a race to watch for me. I wouldn't be overly enthusiastic about it, we'll put it that way.
Paddy, anything standing out?
Well, the way I was looking at it was Gordon had Quilixios in here, and obviously it didn't make the final cut, but that would have been that's a favourite of the Triumphs. It would have been a short price favourite. The fact he's running Zana here is interesting. I think it's unlikely that Willie Mullins will be unleashing his best juveniles this time of year. I think that's what I just kind of feel. I think they'll wait for a little bit longer for that. So I think this meeting tends to be a Gordon Elliott style meeting. So I think Zana here for me, maybe, if that's a stable choice. But again, you can't be confident.
135 is the first grade one on the card. It is the Drinmore even. And Frank, it's cut up quite a lot. Only the 4 go to post. We've got Envoy Allen, who anytime he graces a racetrack now is an exciting prospect. But it's disappointing to see just only the 3 taking him on, really.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to learn too much more about him here. It's a disappointing field, and like, it might be a team as the season goes on that trainers and owners are going to try and avoid him as best as possible. And it's happened here. Like, barring accidents, it's difficult to see how he gets beaten.
He's got a couple of different entries over Christmas. He's entered in the 2-mile race at Leopardstown, and he's entered in the 3-mile race at Leopardstown. And I think he might be in the 2.5 in Limerick over Christmas. Where would you see him most likely going forward? What would you think his route is going to be?
Limerick, then is it the Flowgas at the Dublin Racing Festival, and then the Marsh Chase would be what I would think would be his route from here.
Paddy, anything to add, or just Envoy Allen procession?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, even yesterday at the entry stage, only Gordon Elliott and Joseph O'Brien were the only ones with entries in the race at all. So it's no surprise to see it cut up so much. And Envoy Allen obviously pisses up.
205 is the Porterstown. Really good, deep, competitive handicap chase. Milan Native will top the weights. Death Duty is in here. Captain CJ, Roaring Bull, Court Maid, who's so consistent for Tom Mullins. Monbeg Notorious, previous Tiestes chase winner. Frank, this is wide open. Anything standing out to you yet?
Not standing out, but I'd probably take a chance of one down there at the bottom of the weights. Monlino was actually second in the race last year off a mark of 123, beaten just under two lengths, ran a lovely race over hurdles the last time, Clonmel over 3 miles and beaten half length off 122. On his last chase start, he was third in the Leinster National, beaten under four lengths off 125. He runs here off a mark of 126. He's just still eight, so he could still be improving. And yeah, I think he'd probably be a decent price as well. He'd probably be double figure price and have a few bob each way on him.
Paddy?
I was going for Captain CJ here. Just thought, like, definitely wants a trip. Second to Manila Indo at Navan, which obviously is good form. Jeez, I'm getting attacked here by Little Fly. And he won the 10 up by miles then as well. Definitely wants a trip. And I think Forgive last time he got pulled up. Just kind of hoping that was just a... Just wasn't quite ready for his run or early season stuff. So he's run well here at the track before. Think he could be well handicapped, so why not?
2:35 at Fairy House is the Hatton's Grace, and only seven go to post, but it is an absolute humdinger. Honeysuckle makes her seasonal reappearance. We've got Ronald Pump, who was second in the Stairs Hurdle. Super Sunday, who's pushing on now. 10, Rising 11, Fury Road, Cracking Smart, Beacon Edge, and good old Bacardi's in there as well. Paddy, any steer?
Yeah, I just think Honeysuckle's the best horse in the race. Like, Beacon Edge has been good. Fury Road's been good. But Honeysuckle is just very, very good. And I think she's going to be very difficult to beat. Ronald Pump and Bacardi's replacing the Stairs. A weird Stairs hurdle, it has to be said, though, at the festival last year. So, yeah, Honeysuckle for me all the way.
Yeah, it's very difficult to see how she gets beaten, getting weight off all these, getting the mare's allowance and... Look, she wouldn't be a betting proposition for me now, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to be opposing her either.
Lovely stuff. I have skipped over by accident, and we must go back and have a look at 105 is the Royal Bond, and a really good form guide generally. It was an absolutely outstanding race last year. Not only did it produce Envoy LN, but we had Darber Star and Turnpike Trip and good horses in behind that proved to be winners down the line. Frank, anything here standing out to you? Bally Adam obviously looked impressive up and down Royal. Caskmate, really impressive in a rated novice hurdle the last day. Duke Up was in behind him. And Golo was a good winner for Willie Mullins. I think Willie had 9 in this at entry stage, but only sends the 1 in the end. Anything standing out?
Yeah, I think it's a very good race. Obviously, Bally Adam is nearly favoured for the Supreme at the moment. Be interested to see how he goes. He was very impressive up and down Royal. Still haven't forgiven him for fluffing his lines as bumper debut. I was one of those who... got involved Andy Post for the champion bumper and then he disappointed in Navin and didn't go, but he does look to have a huge amount of ability. Again, he's odds on. I wouldn't be overly keen to back him at that price. I'd have a look at the without market though, and maybe even have a small bet in the win market on Caskmate. Like, I think if he was coming in with a profile without the 3-year absence, he'd be even shorter than what he is. Like, if you go back to his form in 2017, he was beaten a length and a half by Felix Deji in a bumper, beaten 3 lengths by Us and Them in a maiden hurdle at Cork, and he was off then from December 2017 until just this October. Very impressive at Limerick, albeit it wasn't the strongest race in the world, but I thought he was very, very impressive at Punches on the last day over 2.5 miles. Now, he was getting a chunk of weight off Duke Up. I think he was getting 10 pounds, but he beat him 10 lengths. He could have beaten him any distance he wanted. It was extremely impressive. And as I said, if he was coming in here as a 5-year-old, coming straight from, like, you know, the first 4 runs straight into the 2 runs this season, I think he'd be a shorter price than what he is even now. And just, yeah, I think he'll give Bally Adam a run. He might not be good enough, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the race.
Yeah, again, it's one. Bally Adam is one that I've actually had a few quid on for Cheltenham, one of my a few anti-post bets so far. So I'm going to stay loyal to it. I've drank the Kool-Aid already. So hopefully, fingers crossed, goes and wins and lives up to the reputation. But Bally Adam for me.
The final race we're going to look at on Sunday at Ferry House is the 305. It's a Grade A handicap hurdle. The Bar One Racing Extra Places handicap hurdle. Cade Boy, Ciel de Neige, and Hearts Are Trumps are the three horses at the top of the weights. Frank, anything lurking down the bottom that could be of interest here?
Maybe. Not really. Gaul de Bois, like, I know he was kind of very strongly fancied at Down Royal 2 runs back. And he ran okay at Punchestown the last day. He's probably still fairly handicapped off a mark of 121. Maybe he'd be worth a small few bob, but yeah, I wouldn't be overly confident. Like, it's just a matter of, like, JP's got 5 in here, and it's just which one is it the day for? And yeah, you definitely respect any one of them could come alive and go close or even win.
Patrick?
Yeah, it's one of them I'm going for. It's Ciel de Neige. Probably be favourite, I'd imagine. Just was one that was, it should have won the Betfair hurdle off, I don't know, only a couple of 2 or 3 pounds lower. But and then was joint fab for the county hurdle. Obviously disappointed there, but it just stands out as probably well handicapped. The fact it's a big pot, maybe today will be the day.
Ciel de Neige, interestingly, still a maiden over hurdles, but there you have it. Righto, time for best bets of the weekend. Frank Hickey?
I'm going to go to Doncaster on Saturday, the 143 2-mile handicap hurdle, and Ashington is my best bet of the weekend. Very useful over hurdles. Has won 2 of 6 starts, hit the place in his other 4 starts. On his last 2 starts in handicaps, the form is very strong in the context of this race. Was second to Sebastopol in Musselburgh in February off a mark of 121, beaten only half a length. Was third the last time at Cheltenham off a mark of 126, beaten 13 lengths, but that doesn't tell the whole story. He was nearly taken out at the second last hurdle by a faller, lost all momentum and loads of ground, did very well to get going again and finish third. That form looks very solid as well, because the winner went to the Great Wood on the next start off 8 pounds higher and was beaten just 3 lengths in third. And the second was beaten ahead in the Cheltenham Handicap as next start off 2 pounds higher. And the fourth one at Huntington as next start. Ashton runs off the same mark, and Kevin Brogan takes 7 pounds on off as well. And he's a steal. So there you go.
And the 10th as well, handicap for Richard Newland. Keep an eye out for him the next day. Frank, anything else standing out over the weekend?
Yeah, Ferry House on Saturday, the 11:30, the 2-mile 5 beginners chase. Very excited to see how Monkfish gets on over fences. Looks like he could be a monster and could improve plenty for them. He faces Deal Kerr, Escaria 10 and Sam's Profile. So he'll need to be on his game to make a winning debut, but he's definitely one to watch. In the 2:11 at Ferry House, 2-mile maiden hurdle, Kescon Risk, very impressive winner of a Ferry House bumper last January, when trained by Tim Hyde, and is a half-brother to the 152-rated Grand Sancy. That form of his bumper win has worked out really well. The second, Favorite de Champdu, was a very impressive winner of a strong tireless bumper in his next start. And the third, Gabby Nacko, was only narrowly beaten by Esquilena Fakira in 2 hurdle starts this season prior to easily winning at Nace last week. Kescon Risk then went for 370,000 sterling at the sales, now trained by Joseph Bryan and goes over hurdles. He's definitely one to watch. And on Sunday at Foss Lass, at 12:38, Bear Gills goes on the 2-mile novice hurdle. Widely impressed with his bumper win at Warwick on debut. Equally impressed with hurdles debut at Linkfield, despite absolutely clouting the last hurdle. He's a horse with loads of ability, and it's exciting to see where he could end up for, you know, small connections. He could definitely be a festival horse.
Lovely. Perfect. Paddy, best bet of the weekend?
Pim, the 3:15, the rehearsal chase at Newcastle. And I'm not going to give you a reason, it just is.
The Paddy Power form book. Pim, don't know. Anyway.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Righto, time for a few quick questions from social media before we finish. Bernie asks, Frank, we've seen a lot of top-class novice hurdling and chasing performances over the last few weeks. Anything standing out to you of late?
Energumene, obviously, was very impressed with Goran. I would love to know what they're planning on doing with him. Are they going to run him at 2.5 and go down and potentially face in via lane, or will they drop him in trip to 2 miles, or will they even step him up in trip to 3 miles? If I knew what they were thinking of doing with him, I'd be tempted to have a bet on him at anti-post for Cheltenham, even if he was going to face Envoy Allen.
Do you think he could give Envoy Allen a race?
Definitely, yeah.
That's the headline we wanted. Very good. And finally, Anthony asks, Paddy, shat enough to pap or shat enough to crap? Need a good bottle of red for the missus this weekend. Any recommendations?
Do you know what? I think I have one over here. Hang on. That's shite. This one's not bad, right? This is a Rioja called Conde Valdemar, a reserver from 2012. And it's available at about 16 or 18 euro from O'Brien's off license. But I would recommend that. It's meaty enough now. It's 14%. So it's one for a big steak.
That's just the difference between us, Paddy. I've got a glass of my Waddy Orange Cordial, and you've got like bottles of expensive red wine next to you.
I'm not drinking it now, Frank. It's like 12:25 on Friday afternoon. I'm not drinking it yet.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Cheers. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Frank.
Righto, that's all we've got time for on today's show. My thanks to Paddy and Frank, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers and opt in to the Paddy Power Millionaire Chase Qualifier on paddypower.com. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.
But I obviously know what it means, but I was thinking the context of riding a horse with no saddle, which is also called riding bareback.